The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, everybody. It is Tuesday, February 13th, 2024. And it is indeed a heck of a morning. We are live on the MMA Fighting Twitter space. You can hear the show in its entirety shortly thereafter on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. What's going on, everybody? I am Mike Keck. Hope you're all doing fantastic. We are out of the apex, ladies and gentlemen, at least for the next few weeks. And we are officially on the road to Anaheim, California. We are officially on the road to UFC 298, which goes down this Saturday. And I got to tell you, this card could not come fast enough because it's been a tough couple of weeks watching the UFC. Not saying like Vegas 85 and Vegas 86 were like the worst cards ever. But man, it just feels like a chore watching it. No energy, no nothing. It's been tough. But now we get energy, we get a big crowd, and we have a pretty good slate of fights. I mean, look, is this the best pay-per-view ever? No. Is it better than 297? Astronomically better than 297 on paper from top to bottom. The main card is spectacular. I love this main card. We got Fluffy Hernandez, Roman Kopylov right out the gate. That fight rules. Barab Dawalishvili, Henry Cejudo. No one's talking about that fight. Jeff Neal, Ian Machado Gary, under the radar. When was the last time an Ian Machado Gary fight went under the radar? It's been a hot minute. Robert Whittaker, Paulo Costa? This one's flying under the radar too. And of course, we got Alexander Volkanovski versus Ilya Topuria. The best fight on the books right now for the UFC thus far in 2024. So it's just weird timing for this one because everyone's talking about 299. Everyone's talking about 300. What's the main event going to be? What's going to happen here? And this one just quietly floating its way in. And I think this main event rules. I think this card is really, really good. And I even think like the prelims, while there's not like a ton of quality name value, I do think there's going to be a bunch of finishes. I just think it's going to be a super fun card. I think this is really good. And I've been telling people for about a month now, like, do not sleep on 298. I know we're excited for 299, stacked up, Miami, I get it. I know 300's a big deal. We want to know what the main event is. That's like the biggest talking point has been all year so far. But don't sleep on this card. It's gonna be good. And I'm excited for the watch party on Saturday. I think GC and I are going to have a big announcement during that watch party as well. So stay tuned for that. But we could talk about, I guess, the remnants of Vegas 86. We could talk about 298. We could talk about the 300 stuff, I guess. Whatever the hell you want. So let's begin with Thomas. Thomas will kick us off. Thomas, hello.
Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Perfect. So what I was going to say is I'm obviously looking forward to the card at the weekend. The last couple of weeks, I love MMA, but they've been tough to watch at the Apex. But my question is, I'm going to throw something out there. So what's the chances with all the talk being Hamzat and Leon at UFC 300 that Hamzat misses weight and we end up getting Bilal and Leon for the main event at UFC 300 anyway?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I want to make this very, very clear because this is kind of something we have had to run into for the last couple of years in this crazy sport of ours. It's something I've had to learn. It's something even somebody like Ariel has had to learn over the last couple of years. You have to, when you say things, you have to preface them the correct way. And Ariel went on the MMA Hour yesterday and he said, hey, this is what I'm hearing in regards to what could be on the table to headline UFC 300. Nothing's in the works. Nothing's done. Nothing's signed. This is just what I'm hearing. And he basically said, like, don't say I'm reporting this. Don't say this is happening. Like, this is just what I'm hearing. I'm giving you guys an update right now. And he talked about four options for what he is hearing is being discussed for the main event of UFC 300. One is Leon Edwards versus Hamzat Chimaev, which doesn't surprise me. Had me scratching my head a little bit because, like, why? I mean, we'll get to why, but it just seemed kind of out of left field. The other, Trickus Duplessis versus Israel Adesanya. The other, Trickus Duplessis versus Hamzat Chimaev. And I guess, like, according to what Ariel is saying and what he is hearing, the fourth and final choice, like the last option on the table, like this is a break the glass for a case of emergency type situation, Leon Edwards versus Bilal Muhammad. I got to tell you, I really and truly hope it's not that fight. It's just not it. It's just not it. I would rather them just throw like another real fun fight on there and then just main event it with Gaethje and Holloway. Like that is fine. Like I'm okay with that. I understand like, oh, we want the undisputed title. I get it. But do you want UFC 300 ending with what we think Leon Edwards, Bilal Muhammad is going to be? Or do we want UFC 300 ending with what we think Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway is going to be? What would you rather spend $80 on for the fight that's going to close the show? I ask you that. Ultimately, if I had to guess, and again, I have no insight to this whatsoever. This is just me spitballing here. I think we are going to end up with Trickus Duplessis versus Israel Adesanya. It just seems so simple. I understand, hey, you got to turn DDP around. He just had a really tough fight. He's already gone and done some media and basically said, like, if I have to wait, then I'll wait. Cool. It'd be awesome to fight at UFC 300, but I'm not going to go in there compromised. And I understand where he's coming from. He's got decisions to make. Do you want to go in there 100% and wait 2 or 3 months to fight Izzy? Or do you want to go in less than 100% and make the most money you will ever make in your entire career? Because that's what will happen. Trickus Duplessis versus Israel Adesanya is the main event of UFC 300. DDP will make the most money he's ever made in his career by a mile. Because he'll get the pay-per-view points. The thing's going to do bonkers numbers. It'll probably be the best-selling pay-per-view they've had since probably 251. So But ultimately, I think this gets done. If I'm Leon Edwards, like, why would I take – like, if I'm Bilal Muhammad, I just kind of do whatever – like, if that phone rings and they say, hey, you're fighting for the title on this date, you don't really have a choice if you're Bilal Muhammad. You can't say no. Leon can say no. Leon can absolutely say no unless they want to tack on a couple of zeros. So Hamzat would be interesting. He's already sort of come out, apparently, I guess, and said, I'm not fighting during Ramadan, which is kind of interesting because he has also come out and said other times, like, I want to fight at UFC 300, get Dana on the phone. But this could be a negotiation tactic as well. Long story short, I feel like we're in the same position we were in a week ago, where it's just, what are we going to do? How's this all going to play out? And I'll tell you who made this a little bit more confusing for people and has probably upped the price tag for anybody who's getting a phone call right now. John Jones. John Jones doing that interview at Submission Radio and saying, I got offered a fight at UFC 300. I had to turn it down because I'm not ready. Just helped out whoever is going to headline for the most part. Like, if I'm Leon Edwards, I'm like, yeah, I'll fight him, but you already called John Jones. You already called these guys. You need me. So pay me this much and I'll do it. Or especially with the Khamzat fight. You're asking him to go fight Khamzat Chimaev on 2 months' notice? The price tag just went up. The number is higher. So we'll see how it plays out. They are doing a UFC 300 Q&A this week in Anaheim. I think they're doing it right before the ceremonial weigh-ins. So my guess would be they're probably going to announce a main event sometime this week. I think they sort of have to. And then tickets go on sale, I believe, a week from tomorrow. I believe it's February 21st. So they got to move fast, but we're getting close. We're getting to crunch time here. But we'll see what happens. DC Betts, go ahead.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for what you do, man. So I just wanted to say, I'm going to be at UFC 298 Live. I mentioned it before, and you mentioned it, so I appreciate it. But yeah, it's going to be my first event. And I was just telling my buddy who I'm going with how it's crazy that, we're pretty much either going to see the beginning rise of like a Conor McGregor-like star in Ilia Topuria, at least if he does starch bulk like he says he is, you know, if he calls it out and does it like he does, then he probably is going to skyrocket. Or, you know, for us, man, we're going to get to see, you know, one of those final defenses of bulk, because I don't see him having too many, especially if he beats Ilia. You know, I don't really see him sticking around for too many other guys. There's not too many more people left except for maybe Evloev, you know. But I would even put Topuria over him. And then also, I just wanted to get your take on, I was also telling him too about, and I don't know if maybe I'm wrong or whatever, but, you know, I'm excited to see how fast and like how much the fighters actually move, you know, because you see it on live and you see a fast kick, or I mean on TV and you see a fast kick or something like that. But, you know, I was just telling him how excited I am to like actually hear the kicks and actually see how fast something happens or how fast someone drops. And how different it's going to be live. And so, you know, so you've obviously seen a lot live. So if you have any takes on that, thank you, brother. Have a good day.
Thanks, man. I'll tell you what, watching Ilia Topuria live is a pretty good time. I was cage side for the Josh Emmett fight. And man, dude is fast. Like, he is a freak. But so is Volk. I cannot wait for this fight. Like, it's almost, this is one of those fights where, like, it's the total opposite of the UFC 300 main event right now. Like, I want the UFC 300 main event to be announced right now because I just want it to be over with and I want to move on with my life. I don't want, like, I want this fight to happen so badly, but when it's over, I'm just going to be like, man, like, I missed the time getting ready for this fight because I'm so excited for it. And yeah, 100%. If Ilia Topuria wins, strap the rockets to him. But Volk's real good, man, and people are just sleeping on him. Like, I've seen so many people sleeping on him. And maybe it's just people think he's coming back too soon after the knockout loss. But people forget that he beat the hell out of Yair Rodriguez last year. They just remember the Islam fights. One of them was the fight of the year. Got knocked out at the end, took the fight on short notice. No excuses. It is what it is. But sandwiched in between those two fights, he perfect gamed Ilya Topuria. Who has been able to do that? Or Yair Rodriguez, excuse me. So people sleeping on Volk. But you're right. This could be the last featherweight fight for Volkanovski. I talked to John Ayak about this. You could listen to that interview on the Pod Network. It's on YouTube as well. And we just talked 298. We didn't talk 299. We didn't talk 300. We talked this card. We gave it the respect it deserves. And he feels, without having a conversation with Volkanovski face-to-face, which he'll do over the next 48 hours, he feels like if Volk wins this fight, he's moving up to 55 full-time. And wouldn't shock me if that happens at this point. As much as I would like to see Volkanovski fight Bob Zaravloyev, I don't think he's going to stick around for that fight. So a lot of questions. A lot of questions heading in. There's going to be a lot of questions heading out. And that's what makes this fight so freaking good. I'm trying to get TAC MMA in here, but it's not working for some reason. It's not even. Oh, wait a minute. How about now? Nope. I don't know if it's a connection issue or what. Yeah, maybe try to bounce back in Tech MMA.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Let's go to Viking. Viking, hello.
Mike, I have not seen this one working out in gym, but I think UFC is gonna end up matching Rikus Duplessis versus Adesanya for UFC 300 main event. What are your thoughts on that? And who is the biggest superstar if Ilya Topuria wins, him or Sean O'Malley? And I have a surprise for you. I'm working on it, so I'm gonna ask you a great question live, and I want to know your reaction about the thing. Not now, I'm working on it. So, thank you.
Thanks, buddy. I mean, I think it's going to be DDPZ as well. I thought it was going to be DDPZ after 297, but we don't know what DDP, what he's dealing with health-wise. Says he's a little dinged up, says he needs to get some scans done to make sure he could even turn around and fight at 300 or whenever. So I guess we have to wait and see. But this, again, all this stuff could just be negotiation tactics from everybody involved. And when Dana White says, like, this has been a nightmare trying to put this all together, this could be a documentary, I believe him. It seems like it. It seems like they weren't ready for this, which is kind of shocking to me that they weren't ready for this and ready for how people were going to treat UFC 300. If Topuria wins, is he a bigger star than Sean O'Malley? Globally, yes, he will be. Because he's a – I mean, Topuria may not be like a huge star in the States, but he's a big star in Spain. He's a big star in Europe. He's a big star in lots of places. But it will certainly help here. And Sean, yes, has some global appeal, but he's mostly known here in the States. I'll say Topuria, yes, for at least potentially for 3 weeks until potentially UFC 299. Because if Sean O'Malley goes out there and busts up Marlon Vera and finishes him, he's off to the races. The UFC is going to do everything in their power to put him over. So, yeah, it's a good conversation. The buzz around Topuria if he wins that belt is going to be gigantic. I mean, he's talking a lot of shit, like a real bunch of shit. But it's going to be an interesting conversation come like March 10th if O'Malley beats Marlon Vera and does it impressively. Let's try to get Tack in here. I'm getting the wheel of doom, but maybe it's just catching up. We'll see. Tack, do we have you? You're muted, Tack MMA.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you.
All right. Heck of a morning to you. I got three questions. I'll try to make it quick. One, if Lemos wins this weekend, what's her path to get back to the belt? Obviously, fighting Tatiana would have done a lot for her if she would have won. Second, Pantoja is rumored to fight in Brazil on, is that 301? Who is he going to fight? I mean, it seems like there's no one available. So even if Brandon or Ravel wins in 2 weeks, are they going to be ready in 2 months? Who else is there? There's nobody. So I'm wondering what you think about that. And if Sean wins and Marab wins, if he doesn't call Marab out at this point, we should just boo this guy. I mean, it's kind of pathetic at this point. I feel like he's ducking him. So what do you think about that? And that's it.
Thanks, man. Let's see. My dog's whining. Sean's not going to call out Marab. And first of all, Marab's going to win on Saturday against Henry Cejudo. And I think it's going to be a tougher fight than people think it's going to be. I think Marab's going to win, but I do think Henry is far more competitive stylistically than a lot of the guys he's fought on this really impressive streak that he's on. So, and Sean's the champion. He doesn't need to call out anybody. If Sean's going to call out somebody, he's going to call out. I mean, if Topuria wins the belt, I could see Sean calling Topuria out, which will make me really upset because I don't want to see that. It's dumb. Makes no sense. But no, he doesn't need to sell himself to Marab. Marab needs to sell himself to Sean. So I get where you're coming from there, but this is prize fighting, man. This is too much precedent has been set that, and the UFC does business this way. It's not a meritocracy. It's a, look at Bilal Muhammad right now. There's reports that he, Leon Edwards might fight Hamza Chimaev next over Bilal Muhammad. Like, if that's not a, like, and the last time Hamza Chimaev was scheduled to fight at welterweight, he missed weight by 8.5 pounds. And they changed the entire event because of that. But now, like, there's talks about Hamza fighting Leon Edwards. Like, if that doesn't tell you what you need to know, like, I don't know what does at this point. Pantoja, I mean, if Brandon Moreno beats Brandon Royval, I think it'll be Moreno. I think they'll just go back to that one. It's what, 3 months? Two and a half months. If Moreno wins, and I think he's going to, I think they go back to that. Even though we've seen it a bunch, I think they go back to that. I don't think like Amir Elbazi's getting a title shot. Manel Kopp's not getting a title shot. I think if Royval wins that fight, he's not getting a title shot because we just saw that fight and it's pretty one-sided. I don't know if they go, like, yeah, it's got to be tough. I don't know who they throw in there, but I would say they'll try to get Moreno in there. I don't think Moreno Royval is going to go long. So we'll see. What's Amanda Lemos' path to back to a title fight? Zhang Weili losing the strawweight title? Because as long as Zhang Weili is the champion, Amanda Lemos, she could win 10 fights in a row and she's not getting another title shot. It's tough to say, but that's just the world we live in right now. Mackenzie Dern right now, after getting just belted around by Jessica Andrade, she is in a much better position right now. One, because she hasn't fought for the belt. Two, she hasn't fought Zhang Weili. And three, she's way more popular. And that's just kind of the combination. That's the straw that stirs the drink. But Mackenzie Dern wins. Then we do. I think the winner of this fight's going to fight Tatiana Suarez next. And if the UFC has it their way, I think they would probably prefer that it's Mackenzie Dern. Because then it's a win-win for them. Either Mackenzie gets the title shot or Tatiana gets the title shot. Either way, I think they're okay with that. Let's go to Jonas.
Hey, Mike. First time, long time. Usually don't get on. Usually listen on the podcast. But just a question. I'm kind of new to MMA, and I was curious about the relationship between fighters and their gyms. You know, these young fighters that are, you know, on, you know, 10 and 10 contracts, do they work out at their gyms for free with the understanding that they pay a percentage of their fight or win bonus? Do those contracts or agreements change when they re-up? You know, just curious in how they work with their gyms and how these fighters are able to be, you know, continue to do it, but the gyms also make money. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of things. There's obviously like the dues, there's, you know, if you work with specific coaches, they get sort of their own rate. So yeah, it's a little bit of that. And then, you know, you kind of work on that behind the scenes. Like I'm trying to like think of some examples. Like I'm sure like Justin Jaynes is not paying his coaches the same amount of money as like Sean Strickland is or Francis Ngannou is, just using like Extreme Couture as an example. So that's pretty much how they do it. So the 10 and 10 guys, they don't make a lot of money. They don't make a lot of money, especially if they have management. And if you're a 10 and 10 guy, then more oftentimes than not, you need a manager who has a good relationship with the UFC to even get you into the UFC. And we see a lot of that going on right now. So yeah, it's just, it's a percentage. And then you deal with it as well with the coaches and the gym. You pay like your monthly dues, and then you're not just going and preparing for a fight by taking the 7 p.m. MMA class or like the noontime no-gi jiu-jitsu class. You got to do privates. You got to do all this other stuff. So at the end, you know, when you get 10 and 10 and you win, you don't get to keep a lot of that money between taxes and paying off the management and paying off this and that. It adds up quick. So, but to answer your question, pretty much what you just laid out. But every gym's different, every coach is different. But for the most part, that's how it all works. Let's go to 4 Ounce Sniper.
Hey, Mike, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey, heck of a morning. I just wanted to ask you something real quick. So Paulo Costa is fighting this weekend. It's been a long time since we've seen him. I think it was like August of 2022, some point almost over a year and a half ago. I wanted to know your thoughts on him fighting more than 3 more times in the UFC. I don't know what's going on with him. Maybe he's dealing with multiple injuries throughout the past few years, but fighting once a year doesn't seem like he's all too interested in fighting. Maybe, you know, like I said, maybe he's going through some stuff and I just don't know about it. So your thoughts on over 3.5 fights. Do you think he fights more than that in the UFC or less than that? That's it, Mike.
Sheesh. I don't know. It's a good question. I think a lot will have to depend on how Saturday goes. If he just goes out and gets drummed up by Robert Whittaker, I mean, he's still popular. He's still in the title hunt because, like we talked about earlier, this isn't really a meritocracy, and Paul's a pretty popular cat. So, it's tough. Tough to say. I'll say under 3.5. I'll say under 3.5. He's not... Let me see. Let me look this up real quick. So Paulo Costa is 32, about to be 33. Seems like there's money to be made for him outside of the sport as well. I don't know what happened with his contract either. Did he end up re-signing? I don't really know. If he did re-sign, the UFC doesn't do like really 4-fight deals anymore. They do like 8-fight deals. I don't know. I'll have to wait for media day to give you an actual answer for that. Because if he goes into media day and he says this is the last fight on my contract, then I will have a much different answer for this question. So TBD. Thursday, I'll have an answer now that I think of it. Four Corner Sports, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
So I have...
No coat, Owen. He doesn't have on a coat.
Sorry about that. That's just my boss.
My shirt.
But I was going to ask you, who do you think is making more money since they're in California? They're going to review the prices? You think it's Robert Whittaker or Henry Cejudo? Because I think they reveal the payouts of the salaries. That's all I got. Thanks.
I feel very confident it's Robert Whittaker and probably by a wide margin. Yeah. See, the thing with Henry Cejudo is that like he really hurt himself by that like fake retirement. Because he just got like he was on his way to like getting to that money, and then he left when his like stock was still rising. And now he's probably back. Did he get like a small bump to fight Aljamain Sterling? Maybe. But I think it's Whittaker for sure. Trust me, if I did an interview with Robert Whittaker in an hour, and then like an hour after that, I did an interview with Henry Cejudo, and I posted them both at the same time, Robert Whittaker's going to do way better. Like it's just the way that it is. The Cejudo story, like this whole Cejudo situation is really interesting. The Eric Albarracin stuff, like I don't even know if it's real. Like I could see a world where like Merab, like, and you see Merab playing the game and taking advantage of this and posting the social media video. Like I got a new coach. It seems like a bunch of just fun stuff because Eric's a pretty cool dude. I've got the chance to talk to him, get to know him over the years. Like he's a fun guy. Jokes around, doesn't really take life all that seriously unless like his guys are fighting or he's training or whatever. I don't think he's going to be in Merab's corner. I think it would be kind of funny if he just ends up back in Henry's corner. But even when I talked to Anik last week in that conversation, if you want to hear it, when talking about this fight, he was like, yeah, I got the corner audio and looks like he's got some different names in there that I wasn't really expecting to see. So we'll see how it all plays out. But yeah, to answer your question, I think it's going to be Robert Whittaker by a good chunk of money. Not saying Henry's making peanuts, but Rob's doing better, I would say.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Abswalia, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Mark. Hope you're having a good day today. Just wanted to talk about UFC 300. It's just really interesting what's happening right now. I think, you know, the UFC really shot themselves in the foot, and they really lowballed their whole promotion going on to this event. If I want to go on revisionist history, as far as I can remember back to 2016, which I was around for, and based on what I've been told by long-term fans for UFC 100, they had everything stored and planned in set. And it's funny because UFC 300 is also like another milestone for them, not just for a number, but also with actually how big the sport's grown now, right? Because, you know, now you can actually say the UFC is established household brand, you know, in the sport world in general. So I'm just thinking, man, like, look, I don't mind Leon versus Bilal, but not as a main event. Like, as a co-main event, I think there's no better fight than that to make as a co-main event, because get over and done with, it fits the bill. You know, Hamza's thing is really interesting. I do respect his wishes. If he has to do Ramadan, I mean, if he's not going to fight because of Ramadan, that's fine, because to be fair, it is very hard for Muslim fighters to, you know, train during, you know, do training camp during Ramadan. You know, even though, yes, it is very easy to lose that necessary weight to make the weight cut. But that's the also thing, like you mentioned earlier, like, it sounds like it's a negotiating tactic, because he just said he's willing to fight DDP at 300 or whoever at 300, you know, like just a month ago. So I'm really curious to see if that ends up being true. But also, just to speak on 300, I'm sure you saw the post already, but they already kind of posted on the official social media pages across that 2 months ago to UFC 300, and the person in front of that post is Dricus du Plessis. 100% looks like it's him. So do you reckon that most likely we are going to see DDP versus Izzy, or maybe even Sean rematch? What are your thoughts on that? Have a great day.
I think we'll see. I think it's going to be Izzy. I think it's going to be Izzy. This is after 297. It was right. Like, this is the one. And then we veered away from this so quickly for some reason. All of a sudden it was like, oh, well, what about Connor? What about this? Oh, it's going to be a Super Bowl thing. Which, by the way, like, the amount of people who are mad at Michael Chiesa for tweeting, boy, there's a treat for you today. Hashtag 300. And people like bought into this. Like, what? It was crazy. It's so many people were mad at Mike. Like, as soon as I saw Chiesa's tweet, I was like, ah, oh, he is just stringing you right up. And so many people fell for it. He didn't even say UFC 300. He just put hashtag 300. People went fucking bananas over it. And I was saying, too, like, it would be the most brilliant thing on planet Earth for the UFC to announce the main event during the Super Bowl. I'm not saying, and even when I was saying that, like, if there was a commercial and they could announce it, that'd be awesome. But even if they just, like, even if Dana White went live on his Instagram during the halftime show, that would have been fucking beautiful. Like, that would have been incredibly fun if they announced the main event in that moment. Didn't happen because they just truly don't have one. They just truly don't have a main event. but I do think it's going to end up being DDP, Izzy. It's all going to depend on DDP. Dude's healthy and ready to go. It's going to be him and Izzy. Him and Khamzat makes no sense to me. It makes absolutely no sense to me at all. Him and Izzy is the fight. So I don't know what we're doing here. I really don't know what we're doing here. But like I said earlier, I cannot fucking wait till they announce this fight. Because I'm so ready to not talk about it anymore. Like, let's move. Here's our card. We got it. We can like start the countdown towards it. But Jesus, all this, what's going to be the main event of UFC 300 talk? Like, it's fun for a little while, but now we're getting to the point where it's like, it's the UFC apex of conversations. Yeah, like, we're going to talk about it, but I'm ready for the event to end so we can talk about something else. But yeah, that's what I think is going to end up happening. Bilal Leon, I mean, again, that from all understanding is, boy, if we have nothing else, and I mean nothing, like, we'll try to make that one. But the UFC, for a while, like, didn't seem interested in making that fight at all. Leon said, like, yeah, I'm going to fight UFC 300. That was, like, the last we heard about that. That would be tough. That would be tough. But 298, good Lord, this is a good card. Really, really like it. Volk Topuria is spectacular. It's so, so good. It's just going to keep building up throughout the week. It's so, so good. Both guys are just so confident. Like, Topuria is, like, maybe the most confident guy I've ever seen. Like, even Connor, as cocky and, you know, confident and brash as he was, he didn't take his IG and be like, yeah, I'm 15-0 and I'm the champion. Before his fight with Jose Aldo. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Topuria. Like, it's all about him. Volk's got to be feeling pretty good right now. Volk doesn't have to do shit. All he has to do is show up and fight. Topuria's doing all the heavy lifting. And he just needs to, like he said, he just needs to go in there and try to humble this kid up. But Volk's just got to be enjoying every second of this. But I'm so fascinated with this fight. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for a lot of things. We got some stuff in the works, my friends. We got some stuff in the works. I'm actually, well, we got obviously the watch party on Saturday. I think GC and I will make a pretty fun announcement during the watch party. But next Wednesday, not tomorrow, the Wednesday after, I got something planned that's going to fucking knock your socks off. I mean, I don't think you're ready for this shit. I don't think you're ready for it. In fact, I wasn't really ready for it. And then conversation started and I've been blown away by the response from all of this. And I don't think you're prepared for it. It's going to be the best. It is probably going to be my favorite thing I have ever done covering this sport. So, string you along a little bit of a tease. Next Wednesday, something's going down. We're going to film it, and it's going to be the best. And I could not be more excited for it. CV.
Yo, Mike, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, not a question for me, but I think I saw on your page that I think it was your birthday yesterday or today, but I just want to say, happy belated birthday to the people's champ, and thanks for making all our mornings a heck of a morning.
Thanks, buddy. Yes, yesterday was my birthday, the big 4-1. Yes, I'm getting older. Like, 40 didn't seem bad. 41 just seems weirder. But yeah, and got to play golf with my kid on my last day as a 40-year-old. It was a lot of fun. And then yesterday it just poured and yeah. But yes, the big 4-1. Thank you. Appreciate you. It was a good day with the fam. Ate some cake, had some tacos. It was a good day. Worked all day. basically what a 41-year-old typically does, but I appreciate that. Cole, go ahead, my man.
Morning, Mike. Yeah, I second that as well. Happy birthday, and you are the GOAT for doing this three times a week. Love it. Could your surprise have anything to do with the New England cartel? That's all I got.
No. No, it does not. Hopefully some, I mean, look, are there going to be some things in the works of the cartel, fellas? Of course. Any chance I get to do something there, we'll do it, but I'm just not there anymore. So it's a little bit tougher, but yes, it will not be with the, my friends of the cartel, but, no disrespect to those guys. This is way better. and again, I don't mean this like a bad way. I just the thought, like the mere thought of this, I told like, so like my little brother called me on my birthday yesterday and he asked me a bunch of questions, just like, you know, how everything's going. And I told him what this was and he lost his shit. And he was like, he's a fan, but more from like the gambling side of things. Like he pays attention. He knows what's going on. But when I told him what this was, he was like, oh my God, are you serious? I said, yep, it's happening. And even he lost his mind. But like, if I was like, I'm going to do something with Font and Cater, I'd just be like, yeah, I'm not surprised by that. That's just what you would do. This is the total opposite of that. And I cannot be more excited for it. So you guys can try to guess, but I'm not going to tell you. And you probably won't get it right anyway. So Four Corner Sports, go ahead.
Hey, Mike. So, sorry, I had got cut off early because my boss was needing me for something. But yeah, I wanted to talk about originally for, about Dan Ige. I mean, I think this guy needs to constantly lay the smackdown on his wife to keep getting these first-round knockouts because, I mean, we see, you know, with Gavin Tucker, I didn't think he was going to do it with Andre Feely, but man, this guy looked impressive as hell. I really wanted to see him fight Giga Chikadze. That's why I put him down for the Otno pick. My whole thing is, you know, how much higher do you think, Dan Ige is going to be able to climb up the featherweight division? And I'm excited for the whole Mackenzie Dern and Amanda Lemos fight. How do you think she bounces back after that brutal loss that she had against Zhang Wei Li? And I don't know if you noticed, but if you looked on IG, the UFC just put out, it says 2 months ago, UFC 300, and it looks like it's Conor McGregor on the background. So I don't know, maybe they might be feeding us, you know, certain signs. So if you look at it on IG right now, it says the countdown to UFC 300 is on, and is the back of Conor McGregor's head. All right, thanks, Mike.
So, like, this is brilliant. This is absolutely brilliant by the UFC, because now what they have done is they have had people guess on like who that person is. Hold on a second. Someone just called earlier. It was like, yeah, it looks like DDP. Looks like Connor. It's smart. It's really smart. But like I said, they need to announce the main event this week. They have a UFC 300 Q&A. They have, which would make sense, right? Like, if Volk's fighting, you would think like Israel Adesanya is going to be somewhere around there, right? So it wouldn't be a bad card to like have him come out and do the Q&A. Like him and DDP out there would be pretty wild. I don't know. And they're, again, we're a week away from tickets being on sale. And the number's going to sell tickets, but you have a main event like locked and loaded, ready to go. Those things are going to go a lot faster. So I don't know who it is. I thought it was more DDP. When I first looked at it, I didn't really study it. I thought it was Tom Aspinall for like a quick second. But again, I didn't like look at it super close. I was just like, oh, there's a 300 on the towel. But I don't think Tom Aspinall is fighting on that card either. I've had conversations about the Connor thing. It's not going to be Connor. unless they just they pull a rabbit out of their hat. It seems like they're looking at like June 29th, sort of the real date here. That's the plan at the moment, but it's not going to be 300. I don't know what they're going to do. Danny Gay's great. Great ambassador for the sport. Good dude. Fun to watch. Never in boring fights. How high can he go? As high as he can without fighting a grappler. I mean, that's his downfall. Is guys who could really grapple. Like, he's not going to get blown out of the water by anybody. But we saw the Mavzarov Loya fight. We saw the Bryce Mitchell fight. Fights he loses are the ones, for the most part, where he just gets grappled to death. And there's a lot of really good grapplers at 145. So I think, unfortunately, he has a ceiling. Because I don't think he's going to be able to, like, shore that up to become, like, a champion or anything. But still, Danny Gay can make a damn fine career being a top 10 featherweight. And he's probably going to stick. I love the Arnold Allen idea. I think that makes a ton of sense. And, you know, if they throw him in there with Arnold Allen, he goes out there and beats Arnold. Like, that's a win that could change this conversation. So I like that idea. I think it makes a lot of sense. If they want to go like the Lerone Murphy route, that's totally fine. I went a different direction. I went the Sadiq Youssef, Diego Lopez winner at UFC 300. But it's no real wrong way to have this discussion. And then with the Duren Lemos fight, yeah, it's a fine fight. It's a good one. I don't think Amanda Lemos can get back to a title fight as long as Zhang Weili is the champ. Mackenzie Dern could. They've always liked Mackenzie Dern. She's very popular and needs some blood at 115. We need interesting challenges for Zhang Weili. And look, say what you want about Mackenzie Dern. She gets Zhang Weili to the if she gets Zhang Weili to the mat, like things get real interesting. That's the thing about this Lemos fight. The big key for her is just don't get into a striking match. Like, go and tackle her. And hopefully she's learned how to do that. Normally it's like the clinch and the inside trip, but she can just learn like a solid wrestling takedown. She's going to beat a lot of women. She's going to beat a lot of them. So go and tackle her, get her to the ground, and she'll win. If she can't get Lemos down, she's going to lose. She's going to get battered in there. So, what's the betting line on that one? Lemos minus 130. I'm probably going to take a dog shot on Mackenzie Dern at plus 110. I do have to do bets this week for the watch party, so. I'm torn on a lot of these. I got to see some props come out, but. I'm hoping Topuria like somehow swings to the favorite so I can get Volka dog money. Cause if I get that, I am jumping all over it. I mean, again, I'm not saying like Ilya can't win, but I think people are just sleeping on Volk right now. I really do. I think he's getting undervalued in a big way here. And I think even at minus 125 right now, that's a tasty little price right there. So, but just get us to 298. We need it to happen. We're out of the apex for at least two more weeks. We got to go back March 2nd. And yeah, we know what the main event is and it ain't a good one, but then it's UFC 299. So we had that to look forward to. All right, I got to get out of here. Thank you all very much. We'll be back on Thursday. We'll do it again here. Then we got BTL on Thursday. Friday, I think we will be on the YouTube channel for this particular program because the weigh-ins will be at noon Eastern because it's in, obviously, on the West Coast, Anaheim, and the time change. So I think we'll be on YouTube Friday, which I told you guys about. We're going to try to do that more for the pay-per-view fight weeks. And luckily, the timing works out good for us to have a heck of a morning on YouTube before the ceremonial or the official weigh-in. So that is the tentative plan for now. But until then, everybody, have a great rest of your Tuesday and have a heck of a morning, everybody.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.